So let's pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and guide us. Open our hearts. Give us grace and clarity to do your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Cecilia. That was just so random. I mean, like, Saint Apollinarius, pray for us. Like, come on. It's just a, you know, you like forced a saint on them, right? Anyway. So, I don't know if you remember what we were talking about yesterday, last night. I don't, but I had some time to prepare the talk, so that's a good thing and a bad thing, I think, sometimes, because I have two half sheets of paper, and that could mean 15 minutes or 3 hours, right? I want to talk today, because one of the things I think is very important is that in order to seek, there must be a very profound understanding of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to really kind of focus you folks on the Holy Spirit. Because for most of us, that's this like great mystery, the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, one of the things I've been kind of working on in my own spiritual life is just having a regular prayer to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I have a little card that asks to increase the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a little prayer card I got from the shrine. So one of the things that I think that people often ask, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the precursor to Christ. He comes first. So, but there is an act of faith that each of you must engage in to and say, come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. Like, come and renew me. I can't emphasize enough, like, the importance, like, the Spirit must be alive in you, because the Spirit will help you in the journey of faith, in discernment, and actually knowing what is the movement of the Spirit. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and was void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Okay? So you immediately see that the Spirit goes where there's lacking, where there's nothing. Okay? Now, this for me is a beginning of you sense the mission of the Spirit. So right away, that which is lacking, that which has potential, the Spirit hovers there. Now, immediately, ladies, you should immediately sort of jump right into the Gospel of Luke, where Our Lady at the Great Annunciation, the angel Gabriel comes and says, hey, you have this formless wasteland within you, but I want to create in you this baby Jesus. All that the Spirit does, whether it's biological or supernatural, it's always incarnational. It always creates. So each of you should recognize, regardless of your age, regardless of your vocation, that the Spirit comes to create. It is the Spirit that comes very profoundly to actually renew your life. Seeking Christ begins with an absolute awareness that it is God, the initiator, to effect what is going to be a growth, a new life. Okay, now why am I starting out with this? Because a lot of us have emotions or pains that have just remained pains or raw emotions. They're not growing. They're not, producing fruit. I will know your emotions by the fruit that they produce. I will know that tree. And so you begin to recognize that, at least for me, is that the times that I couldn't get beyond into the deeper place of grace, it was because there were emotions or pains in my own life that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in, that the Holy Spirit came to renew. So the Spirit is always going to renew in you. Now why, ladies? Because some of us may be seeking an image of Christ. We may not be seeking the fullness of Christ. And I'm going to unpack who is this Christ that we should be seeking. But first, let me just lay the foundation. In Psalm 104, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming, but then the Spirit renewing the face of the earth. And you hid your face, and we were dismayed. But then you send forth your Spirit, and we are created. Do you recognize that the Spirit is this creational presence? And in order to understand God, in order to seek Christ, the Spirit must be actively moving within you. Because otherwise, if the Spirit is not moving, when you hit the cross, when you hit the struggle, you're going to veer off and you say, I don't want to keep going in this journey. The Spirit animates the journey so that you actually keep moving forward. I will seek Christ through turbulence, through the struggles. I can say that these last, 2 years or so, I've called on the Spirit more than ever to say, help me keep focused on the truth and not to get bombarded with the noise and cacophony that was surrounding me. And I actually felt, and those of you guys that kind of get sucked into it, you're not calling on the Spirit. That cacophony that exists, it's like rap music outside your ears. It can be so determining, and I use that word properly, that you can actually be drawn into it. I'm not listening to it. I don't hear any rap music. But that's what happens. The Spirit comes to renew. Now, are you letting the Spirit renew you? Are you aware that that's exactly what God comes to do? Now, on the other side, there is an evil spirit, the fallen angel. That's what we call Lucifer. That spirit is a mocking spirit. So you have to expunge the darkness. That's the sacrament of confession. You have to willfully, remember, God wants you to engage your will. Your will is the determining factor. The grace is already there. The grace is already active within you. But look at the self, quote unquote, self-determination. God is giving you permission to push out that which is not of Him, that which is creating barrenness, sadness, brokenness. You are not victims of your past. So shame on you if you're still stuck in that. Because you are choosing not to renew the face of the earth. The choice to remove that is your choice. That's your choice. And what happens is then Ezekiel says, well, then I will give new life. Ezekiel 36, and by the way, I was giving all these retreats to these religious sisters, and some of them were stuck, and I was like, oh, you know what? I didn't fly all the way down to this country just to have you stuck. And started hammering them upside the head, right? 36, Ezekiel 36, verse 25. I will make a covenant with them. I will give them new life. But then he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And I will remove from that place your stony heart. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And then he says, and I will give you my spirit that you may walk in my ways. You were created by the grace of the Spirit. God the Father loving you. Christ loving you. But it is the Spirit that is blown in you. You've already tasted the Spirit. You should be aware of the movement of the Holy Spirit. You are mature women. So the Spirit should be active within you. But if it's not active, it's because you blocked it from actually creating within you. That's ultimately the gift to keep seeking Christ. It's the key to seeking is letting the Spirit move within you. It's not complicated, but get out of the way. Get out of the way. Stop doubting that God wants to create on that place in your heart. Look, if you don't understand it, last night, Father Abuka, we had a conversation. Say, yeah, come on up here, confessions, pray over people. And then right when we started, he's like, what do I do? I was like, I don't know, just bless them. Imagine if he was all self-consumed. Well, what do I do? Oh my gosh, that lady rested. No one rested. Who cares? Just trust. Just trust. How many of us, we can't get out of the way because we're too embarrassed? We don't trust that God wants to do that. And so ultimately, what I want to help you recognize is that when the Spirit of God is moving within you, then something powerful happens. And you have the grace to seek Christ. What is this point? Because written in your heart is a mission. Written in your heart is the powerful grace that God promises that I am with you in the midst of your turmoil. A lot of times when we are struggling, the phrase, I don't know, I don't know how I feel. Well, you should know. You should know what's happening. You should logically know why do I feel like this? When is it happening to me? What's the trigger within me? Like, folks, you got to know this stuff. You can't be just a punch buggy for the devil. You can't say, oh my gosh, I don't know why I feel good. I'm really in a bad place. Well, maybe it's the loss of your mother. Her, you know, she died 5 years ago and it's her anniversary. Then make the connection. Logically make the connections. And then you will begin to understand, aha, I'm not in a good place, but that's all right, because that's the turmoil. What I'm trying to drive with you today, a lot of the turmoil, it's within you. You have to make the determination, why am I feeling like this? What is happening? If you're married and you got a kid and your kid's acting rotten, you're like, well, I don't know why I feel rotten. And all of a sudden, you're like, I'm the worst parent in the world. Okay, fine. But you're never going to solve it by walking around telling everybody you're the worst parent in the world. That's absolutely ridiculous. It serves no purpose. Okay, what do you want me to do? Commiserate with you? Okay, you are the worst parent in the world. Like, what's the answer to that? Like, look at that. What's the answer? What do you want to say? No, you're not. You might be. I mean, I just want you to realize, like, look at, you're just like talking to somebody and you don't even want validation. You just want sympathy. I'm a really bad parent. Okay, well, what do you want me to do about it? There's no answer to that. You're not creating. You're just looking at a formless wasteland. I'm a terrible parent. What is the point of that? Zero. As a matter of fact, it borders on selfishness. because it's a self-consumed conversation. It's all about me. And I'm not just talking about parents. I'm talking about anything where you're just like, I don't even know why. I don't know why I feel like this. Come on. The grace of the Spirit will move. That will get you out of the selfishness of self-seeking. Are you actually going out of yourself looking for Christ? Are you actually leaving behind the struggles? What God creates, what the Spirit creates, is the presence of Christ within. So we can actually go into ourselves, into a void, into a negation, into an emptiness. Like, look at that. How many of you, when things are wrong, things are not great, you go, I'm just going to bottle it up. I'm just going to go hide within myself. And there's nothing inside, just sadness, just this emptiness. It's a formless wasteland. And the idea of calling on the Holy Spirit to get out of that routine or that pattern, no way, I like it. Well, it's a formless wasteland. There's nothing there. But when the Spirit is active, when you're aware of that, the Spirit pushes you out and says, go out. Get out of this. Ultimately, to be incarnational, to create Christ within you. It's the most beautiful grace that you could ask for. Christ, be formed within me. It began on the day of your baptism. It began the day you became a Christian, that Christ began to be formed within you. You were configured. You were created. You were recreated. I'm driving at so that the whole concept of seeking Christ, you're not seeking this voidless wasteland. Where is he, Father? Where is he? God is presenting himself to you. Remove the blinders. Take out the earplugs. And God will become evidently present to you. And see what's happening that's causing you sadness as not a reason for you to remain in sadness. You may not remain in sadness. Because in the light of everything, God creates. He's overcome everything. He's overcome death. If you believe, then you will see the loss of a loved one in the light of Christ. You will see it. You will see your bodily sickness, or your emotional upheavals up and down, or some trauma in your life, and you'll say, aha, it's unifying me to Christ. Deeper, you can find Christ in that place when guided by the Spirit. When guided by the Spirit, that wound, that trauma, that loss that's now a void, Christ will bring you to that place. He will not let you avoid it. He doesn't create half of the world. And what is so profoundly moving is that he brings you to the place and then he creates there. He creates virtue, faith, hope, love, endurance, patience, kindness. It is essential that you begin to do this, to taste this, so that you can help other people experience the same liberating creation of God. Some of us are profoundly afraid of the liberating creativity of God within me. We can't imagine what that looks like. Like God actually opening something up within me, a grace, a beauty, a charism, a new experience of the depth of his love. That's exactly what the Spirit is called to do. And how do we know that? Because it happened to my mother. My mother had nothing in her belly, and then the Spirit came upon her and said, create. And then there's a baby. And my mom, all she did was say, okay, I'm open. And the Spirit came. There are those places in all of our lives where you're saying, I wish the Spirit, I'm waiting for God. Well, call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, create in me every place where there's a formless wasteland, new life. And then what's beautiful is that Christ is led there. Okay, stay with me. Because then you go to Luke chapter 4. And immediately in that desert place, Christ goes. Okay? And what does Christ experience in the desert? Temptation. What is a formless doubt, pain, suffering that's producing nothing? Christ is led there by the mercy of the Father. And there he lives for 40 days. Not living off of your wounds, your brokenness. There he undergoes the attack. There he experiences the pain. And what is the grace? He comes back victorious. That's the Christian life. That's what every single one of you should be experiencing. That profound place where it's nothing and Jesus is thrown there. Actually, the scripture says he was led there, impelled there is another word. And he comes back full of the Spirit. I'll get to a few quotes from the New Testament. But, and so there is Christ engaged in this place. And ultimately, what happens is he conquers that place. Do you have places in your life that are not conquered? That you have not given permission to Christ? Go. Go to that place. Go to that memory. I give you permission. I trust in the Holy Spirit. Go on, Lord. Go into that place. Once you give permission to that encounter, he goes, but the battle wages. That's when the battle takes off. And here's the beauty. It's not just you fighting against the evil one. Now it's Christ. Now it's not fair. Because he's in the desert with you. Now it's not fair. It wasn't fair before because it was you alone. Now it's Christ on your side. It's not two on one. It's the creator versus a creature, the evil one. That ain't fair. That is the challenge. So what happens eventually is there Christ overcomes. Remember, ladies, the three temptations. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Like he overcomes all of the things that cause the wounds. Are you with me? And what is the effect of you when at the end of that experience, Scripture says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Notice that the formless wasteland is now controlled by Christ. He has conquered it. And more profoundly, it's from that place that he goes out in the power of the Spirit. Then you can see Christ. Then you've tasted the power and authority of God. Then you go out as a woman who has profoundly been experiencing the power of Christ, and you now know what you're looking for. You don't go out as some bent-backed wimp. You go out with courage. You go out confident that God's power is working in you. All you need to do is stay open. But if you go out as a slopey-shouldered, ears that are clogged, closed eyes, no wonder you get pummeled. Examine how you go into the world. Examine how you live your vocation. Do you go out sappy? I can't wait to get pummeled on the ball field today. Or do you go out confidently? The power of Christ. Whether you get pummeled or not, it doesn't matter. You got to go out at least some confidence, right? I mean, face it, the skins are going to get crushed tomorrow, right? But they got to go out and at least start the game in confidence. We got this. Yeah, we got this. Oh, we totally got this, right? Who knows? Now watch their win. I celebrate Mass for the Skins. I've had a terrible record the last 10 years. So if they win tomorrow, the priest that's celebrating Mass, he's never going to let me live it down, ever. They'll fire me, right? But what you'll see is this, is that then when you understand what that taste of the power of Christ is, then nothing you face once he's conquered the darkness and the desert in your heart should ever have dominion over you again. My one-liner is this. Too many Catholics have never experienced the power of Christ, so the nonsense that's going on in the church has so disabled them that they just sat down and cried. And they're just crying because Mama Church got beat up and all the trauma. Don't misunderstand me. I was angry. But I got a real slap in the head when the Lord said, well, what are you going to do? Sitting there crying on the side of the pew is doing nothing for me. Help heal her. So what God does, and what I think I'm trying to drive home with you, and we're going to get there in this next point, is that the Spirit then sends Christ out from the desert. And the first thing Christ does, and this is your mission, is he goes to the temple and he gives a homily. Luke chapter 4, 16 to 20, more or less. Luke chapter 4, 16 to 20. Like the first chapter of Luke, first 20 verses of Luke is what I'm talking about. And he shows up. Remember, he's just a carpenter's son. He's not a rabbi. I mean, you know, he wasn't that well known intellectually. And here he comes. And this is the message of the first homily. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Imagine if you knew that. The Spirit of the Lord, what is the Spirit? A creating spirit, a new life spirit, a spirit that awakens and forms grace within. Because he has anointed me, yes, for us as Catholics through the sacraments, but he anointed me because he took over my desert. Because he took over the place that where all of my bullies live, all of my traumas. And then he says to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. So release captives, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed, number three, and a year, an acceptable year to the Lord. Release to captives, sight to the blind, liberty to the oppressed, an acceptable year of the Lord. Therein lies, quoting Isaiah, a small taste of why Christ came. He goes into the desert so that he can taste the suffering. And ultimately, in that experience of struggle, that Christ can then go forth to the cross. We cannot go to the cross, ladies, unless the desert has been conquered by Christ. You cannot go to the cross. You will drop the cross and run away from it because you will think you're alone. I'm going to say it again. If you have not invited Christ into your desert, then, and he's not come back and proclaimed, then when you make your way to Jerusalem, when you turn your face to Jerusalem, that's what the scripture says, I promise you, you're going to quit because you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel isolated. You're not going to seek him in turbulent times. You're going to be like, well, why me? Why do I have this cancer? Why has my kid got this struggle? It's the total difference. Why do some people unite their suffering to Christ in a redemptive act, and some people just go home to the Lord angry as a hornet? Why? What's the difference? And sometimes it's the first guy that's had a really tough life and is poor, and the other guy's been blessed abundantly, and he says, well, this isn't fair. Yeah, well, it's not. Thank God. Because if it were unfair, you'd be in a lot of trouble. Because you can't go to Christ and say it's unfair, so you might as well taste the chalice now. He knows it's unfair. Ask him, hey, was the cross fair? So my challenge for you, and I'm going to just give a couple more points, is this, that when the Spirit is moving and it's conquered, and I hate to keep repeating, but what happens is then Christ then sends you and you actually become a missionary to liberate, to give sight to the blind. It's like you talking to your girlfriend. You'd be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, she's like, oh, yeah, well, I had this pain or I had this trauma. And all of a sudden, her eyes are open, her ears are open. You're like, yeah, I thought I was the only one in the world that had that pain or that suffering. Nope. And all of a sudden, you proclaimed a message of hope. That's what you folks got to do. And it's true. People, believe me, the evil one is completely threatened by that. Because he wants, remember, he wants to live in that wound in you. He loves that wound. That wound is where he just lives, man. He's a cancer there. So what ultimately then happens is when it comes out, and it's a process of pain, you're going to feel like Humpty Dumpty. If I'm all cracked, who's going to put me together? The Spirit, because it hovers over brokenness. You don't have to worry. Just keep submitting it to the Lord. Lord, I'm broken. Heal me. Holy Spirit, just that regular daily prayer to the Spirit. Regular. And what will happen is he will create anew. You won't look like the old woman. You will be a new woman in Christ. These are not pious thoughts. These are scriptural realities. This is definitively what each one of you is called to do. To be a joyful, life-giving presence. And to create in other people. To create new life in other people. That is a profound calling. Do you know that that's your calling? To create new life so that your girlfriend that doesn't have any faith and you sit down and be like, well, share, let me share my faith. Let me share what's going on in my life. You know, you're not hammering them, but you're witnessing. Oh my gosh, that's new life. What was once a formless wasteland of their emotions and sadness and self-absorption now becomes a place of life. And remember, that journey is hard because it was hard on you. So if some of you are going through the desert, got that experience, the harder it is, confidence. That means the Lord is going to use you very, very beautifully. Very profoundly. But again, he wants to keep you convinced, the evil one, that you're not good enough. Look at all the nonsense voices that come in after, right? You know what I mean? You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You know, you don't know this. You don't speak Latin. You don't speak this. You don't speak that. And all of a sudden, well, I guess I'm not good enough. And then that's a self-labeling. That's a self-labeling. And that actually has to, in sometimes, be confessed because it's a lie to myself. Have you ever confessed lying to yourself? All right, well, not tonight, okay? Or go see Father Rich and Father Darren. I'm going to bed. But honestly, and it's not even you believe it, You just don't know what else to say. And I want you to say, well, why am I saying that? That's goofy. That makes absolutely no sense that I even think like that. You live in a Christian life, you're keeping the commandments, you busting it in your vocation. Yeah, I'm giving it all. Are you serving and sacrificing? Yeah. Then what are you getting all weird about? Well, I don't know. Then ask. So what in John chapter 14, I just want to go over a few things. It's actually very beautiful. And I want to show you three things that the Spirit is going to help you do so that you can stay focused. I'm going to kind of pop in and I'm going to give you a couple teachings on joy. Hang in. So John chapter 14, it's part of the Last Supper discourse. And Jesus is at the Last Supper and he's giving the guys some marching orders and he's telling them some really profound stuff, right? I don't know whether they're digesting it all, but he's just kind of giving it to them, right? And John chapter 14 in verse 16 and 17, and it's hard. You got to read it slowly. He says, you know, I will send the Spirit to you. Verse 16 and 17. He says, and I will pray that the Father will give you another counselor. Another is what? Jesus is the first. The Holy Spirit is the second. Counselor, advocate, companion is the Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit is a companion in seeking Christ. Okay? To be with you. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. So, ultimately, verse 16 and 17 is that the Spirit comes to create in us. And he says, and he dwells within you. So the first understanding of Jesus at the Last Supper is that the Spirit is already within. Now you have to awaken the Spirit. You have to let the Spirit come alive within you. That is not dependent on your holiness or your lack thereof. It's simply an invitation. Holy Spirit, come alive in me. Holy Spirit, create in me. But not according to your plan. Not according to your directions. It will not be an abundant movement. It may be just a soft breeze. Like think of how you were conceived in the dark of your mother's amniotic fluid, little, and next thing you know, you're out. Okay? That's how God creates. Little. Yes, it may be a Pentecost movement where it's profound, but it may just be very gently. I don't always see the movement of the Spirit in my life. I don't sense it. I don't remember it. Some of you may remember those moments. Great. That's different, male, female, your memory, but it's however God wants. It's not important. If you remember the Spirit, if you keep a diary, fine, no problem. But what I've noticed is the Spirit is gently but powerfully moving. It's remember the word, it was hovering over the face of the earth. Think of the word hover, you know, like gently present. But it's creating. So the first teaching on the Spirit, again, I'm talking about seeking and accompanying, is just recognizing that he dwells within you. Number two is verse 25. Okay, and 26. These things I have spoken to you while I am with you, but I will send the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things. Number two, the Spirit will teach you how to seek Christ. The Spirit will teach you. You have to be really aware of seeking, not going the wrong direction. This teaching, you must form with an intellectual reading. Fine. You know, you got to use your noodle. Got to use your head. Okay? You have to read. You have to do a little reading of Scripture. Even 10 minutes a day, but you got to form your mind. But what happens is the Spirit then uses the material there to create. So as I read, He creates. He makes connections. As I study a little bit, I'm not going to be the next St. Thomas, but what I know is that I got to give the Spirit some stuff to create. And so you got to do a little bit of reading. And what He will do, though, it will not just be an intellectual knowledge. It will be a profound experience of being taught. It'll be the arrow to the heart. Aha, I understand. That's the only way I know how to describe it. It's almost like, I got it. I call it an aha moment. That animates your seeking. That helps you keep seeking Christ. So when times are turbulent, when things are difficult, you don't just say, well, I'm just going to fall back on my emotions. No. And don't even fall back on your self-loathing. That's not even the point. Keep going forward. Okay? Because God's creating. Remember, a simple thing for those of you guys that have a bad past, if the evil one, if you're making your way closer to Christ and he keeps accusing you and shooting your memories at you from the past, you just have to take a simple step back and say, okay, is this creating something new or is this tearing down the work of God within me? Okay? It's very important. Then you simply reject it. So I'm making my journey. I'm open to Christ. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm just getting all these hammer memories. They're hitting me in the head, and I'm discouraged, and I'm like, I'm never getting anywhere. And all of a sudden, I start entertaining or thinking, okay, take a simple step back. Is this making me, is it building up or tearing down? It's tearing down. Then I reject it. Very simple. You don't have to be an Einstein to see how the evil one is working. Okay, so he will teach. The Spirit is very free there. But remember, in that context, what he's going to do is say, don't bring out that wound. Don't. Don't cough up that suffering, that pain. Okay, ladies, you've got to get beyond that. Whatever is the pain, you've got to just get it out. Because that will never be the place of creation. Like, that's the whole thing. It's not creation because you have fenced it off from God. No, I'm not giving you permission there. Number 3, John 14, verse 26. And this is effect. What happens is, okay, 26, 27, it says, and peace I leave you, but not as the world gives you peace. And I give to you but let not your hearts be troubled, for you have faith in God, have faith also in me. And then he says, and I will send you into the world. So number 3, when God creates, when the Holy Spirit creates, you become a witness. Seeking Christ then becomes a constant movement within you. In effect, you're grafting yourself to Christ. God begins to move within you. That being sent forth is significant. Because then you become the very presence of God to other people. It's very profound because those women then become dynamic witnesses of grace. Remember what Romans 5:5 says. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In effect, then it's God's love that begins to grow within you. Because the Spirit is going to bring love. Only love creates. Only love. Nothing else creates. That's why God can create, because He's love. Love diffuses itself. Like, love has to come out of me. If I have God's love, it's not possible for me to stay in. It actually has to be poured out into others. Like, remember that. And so then I can pour out this love, which is the grace of the Spirit. And again, that's through whatever your vocation is. Are you with me? Okay, just a couple more things. I have about 10 more pages of notes, okay? So, let's talk a little bit about joy. Maybe I'll bring the other part in later, but I'll see. So Galatians 5:22, all right? So remember, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, receive, seek, and you will find. I would like you, ladies, to begin to ask for the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, and here are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So the Spirit is love. Got that. But then notice St. Paul goes right into joy. The creative act of God is always going to produce joy in the human heart. As a matter of fact, God promises, Jesus talks about two things at the Last Supper. Because I was going back, I was like, didn't God promise? He said two things. John 15:11, that He will give joy. 15:11, and John 14:27. I will give you peace. Joy 15:11, peace 14:27. Wow, that's exactly what we need. How many of us, if we were to put ourselves in the most turbulent time of our lives, right? How many of us, knowing God is love, but we wouldn't love joy and peace, right? Peace in the turmoil, peace in the struggle, but in a joy, so you don't get weighed down by sadness. Ultimately, what happens when the Spirit is alive in you, it lightens your burdens. It lightens the burdens that you're facing. Okay, I got this. Lord, we can do this. Trust. Another thing I've noticed with joy is that it protects from temptations. And so when you're struggling, again, you know, just recognize that, okay, Holy Spirit, come, protect me. Remember, ladies, that, you know, again, I don't know, maybe you already knew this, but I'll say it again, but, you know, the spirit, the evil spirit sees your reactions to the little pinpricks that he gives you. So let's say he sees me going to my chapel at 9 o'clock at night, whatever. And then all of a sudden I'm in, like, the chapel and I get, like, the munchies, right? Like, I got to go eat, like, a bag of Doritos, right? I wasn't hungry outside of the chapel, but I get in the chapel, I was like, you know, munchies, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, you don't even know what to do. Like, you're like, ugh, Doritos, right? And it's happened. This is a personal, this is the depth of my spiritual life. And like, you know, sometimes I cave. Like, sometimes, like, all right, Lord, I'll be right back. And it's only like when I fasted. Like, it's when I fasted, it's like Doritos, you know, and I'm like. But I gotta like fight through that, you know, like not now, you know. But have you noticed that, and this is the point, like, have you noticed that sometimes the pinpricks come when you start to pray, and it's the same pinprick, and he sees your reaction, right? And like, you know, you're praying, and all of a sudden, like, oh, let me check the weather for tomorrow. While you're praying, you're like, oh, let me check the weather, distraction. And you're like, why am I checking the weather? Like, you never check the weather at 9 o'clock, right? But I, have you noticed those little, and you have to renounce them. You've got to fight through them. Fine, finish your prayer and then go eat or whatever, but like, don't, try not to give in right away. Right? He sees every reaction in you. Remember that. So if he pinpricks me, you know, like, and he sees my reaction, oh, he sees that reaction in me. So I want you to recognize that you have to be very aware, because then your response has to be back to joy. Does everybody understand? Okay, Lord, sorry. Because he's going to keep pricking you with that pin until he's done and you've overcome it. Okay? Third, it gives you the grace to persevere. Again, joy. Life is a lot easier if you just don't concentrate on all the difficulties. So, in effect, let me just kind of pull it all together. In effect, what happens is you've tasted the Spirit in the creative reality of who you are. The Spirit has created you, created within your mama, you. The Spirit comes and renews, it always creates anew. A voidless wasteland becomes a hovering place of the Spirit. We know from the Scripture that then God creates Old Testament, trees and bushes and rocks and plants and all that stuff. New Testament, Jesus Christ. So because of your identity in Christ, when the Spirit comes, it creates Christ within you. It doesn't just create trees and plants and all that, but newness. Trees and plants could be just virtues. I'm talking about the grafting of Christ. Okay? In that reality, then, that newness, Jesus is actually drawn to the voidless wastelands, to those places where sin has entered. But he goes there and he lives for the 40 days. In that encounter, Christ gets dominion if you give him permission. Again, it's dependent on your transparency and your surrender. Christ beautifully respects us. It's the most confusing thing ever. Why does God respect me so much that he would let me do rotten stuff to myself and others. Like, really think about it. Why does he let you do dumb stuff to yourself? And so there is Christ. He overcomes. And when he leaves that place, this is you, again, Christ forming you, he goes out in the power of the Spirit. That Spirit, that power, then becomes the grace for you to seek. Okay? It's no longer the burden of, oh my gosh, I'm such a wounded person. But he's conquered there. And you go forth in the power of the Spirit. And the first thing he does, he says, bingo, let's go give a homily. Preach, you know, liberate. And he says, open the eyes, make an acceptable year to the Lord. Let them hear. So ultimately what happens is, it's this creative reality that Christ creates within me, creates a taste within me, and then I'm sent forth to look for him more profoundly. But in that journey, he brings people into my path that are the wounded members of the body of Christ. And therein lies how I create within them, the Spirit, of course, through me, to create new life in this person that passes within my path. Okay? That will then give you the strength to continue the journey. So, I want you to really begin to think about that in your life. God will put people in the path for the purpose of you to be a creative part of his redemptive love. I'm going to use this one for my glory. I'm going to bring forth life in this one. Every single one of us must create. Okay? Every single one of you must be creative. New life, regardless of your age, regardless of your vocation. Okay? That is the beauty. And the real beauty is creating Christ in others. Again, it's God, but you're letting God use you to be the instrument. And in whatever way you are, whatever way. Is everybody with me? Okay, good. Well, so thank you, Holy Spirit. We put all this at your feet, Blessed Mother and our Lord, Saint Cecilia. Out of nowhere, man, out of nowhere, Saint Cecilia. Anyway, glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph, may the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Anyway, see you in a little.